Blog Talk Radio.
hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. This week, we are bringing you the second part of a message we brought to you last week on the unseen spirits of this world by Pastor Kenneth Carpenter from a live church service in Maryville, Tennessee. One of the best sermons we've heard on this topic, and if you didn't get to hear it, please go to our archives and listen to it. While Bill shared before and wants to share again tonight, that we are going to see who it is that knows how to connect with God and is doing so, compared to those that have just been getting a flashover blessing from others and have become lukewarm in their position with the relationship with God. In other words, the gap growing between the wheat and the tares. As in the scriptures, we read how the storms can be used to help with this separation process. This may sound odd, but while Bill's thankful for this national emergency and how it has affected his thinking on spiritual things, the God relationship at church has become more of the same God relationship at work, at home, driving, and at any time, day or night. Our relationship with God should be the same all the time, with every breath that we breathe. He is faithful, and he's looking for a people who will grow in their relationship with him and be found faithful. Living for God is an individual relationship that has been granted for whosoever will. And now, let's have a listen.
I guess I've been thinking about children today, knowing that Audrey's going to get baptized tonight, and knowing that in the past few weeks there's been other of our children that God is touching hearts. Aren't you thankful God's touching our children's hearts? This COVID-19 business kind of stirred our children, some of our children up, and I'm thankful for that. You know, Wednesday night I preached on the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, I must have really connected with youth because I got a lot of questions. There was they got pastor's cell number, and they sent some very good questions in. Pastor, you said this about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, and you said this and that. And I've got, isn't that wonderful when our children begin to question spiritual things? It's true. Brother David Hatmaker sent me, this early, I think Friday morning, a text. He said, "Good morning, this is Brother David Hatmaker. I took the girls yesterday to get something for their mom for Mother's Day. I had a captive audience, so we talked about Wednesday night's message, you know, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. All was quiet for a minute. And Elizabeth started singing, I'm living in the light now, I'm living in the light now, I'm living in the light." Is that, I just thought that was absolutely awesome. That Elizabeth would know that she's living in the light. Amen. Aren't you glad you're living in the light? God is so good. And I don't know, and I wouldn't want to offend anybody tonight, but I was studying last night. I don't know if they've got this ready. I sent it in, but I didn't get a response back. But last night I was in the bedroom studying, and my grandson Beckham came in, and he asked me about the Holy Ghost. All right, he asked me about the Holy Ghost. I don't know if do you have this? Can you play this?
Say that again, bub. Ask me that again.
Is this how you speak in tongues?
Do what now?
Is this how you speak in tongues?
Say that again, bub. Ask me that again.
Is this how you speak in tongues?
I believe God's stirring our children. Hey. I would rather my grandson come in the bedroom and tell me that, do that, than to come in there and break the latest dance that's out. I'd rather him come in there talking about that than... Have your Bibles and would stand with me tonight. God is great, greatly to be praised. Just a few moments tonight, just a few moments this evening. God has stirred my heart up. God has stirred my heart up that COVID-19, now there's a lot of opinions about COVID-19, a lot of opinions. Is it all that? Well, I'll tell you what is real, and that is fear, okay? That is real. But I'll tell you one thing COVID-19 has done in my life personally. It's caused me to reset my life spiritually. It's caused me to have a great reset that has happened. And it has caused me to begin to really examine the spiritual place of the church and how that we can understand the times. I want you to understand the times that we're living in. And I began Wednesday night, and I want to continue tonight. John chapter 12, verse number 31. A biblical view of the spirit world around us. A biblical view of the spirit world around us. John 12, 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Pray with me tonight. Father, I thank you this evening for the privilege and the honor to be called to preach your word. Lord, I bear the souls and the burden tonight of this local congregation. God, I hunger after you. And God, what you want to do tonight in this service. And God, what you want to do through this church. God, I hunger, Lord, that we never become complacent. I hunger, God, that we never become Laodicea. I hunger, God, that we never lose our desire, God, for you, and that church never becomes a ritual and a routine. God, I hunger tonight that we keep a real relationship with you alive in our hearts, that the mention of your name causes me to praise you. Father, touch all of us tonight. Draw all of us close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. There are three times in the scriptures that Jesus Christ refers to Satan as a prince, as a prince. We know that he is referring to him being a ruler with power. Jesus never denied that Satan was a prince and that Satan had power. In John chapter 12, verse 31, he said that judgment had come, and now shall the prince of this world be cast out. In John chapter 14, and verse number 30, once again, hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Again in John chapter 16 and verse number 11 of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. We must understand tonight to have a biblical solid view of the spirit world around us that Jesus referred on three different occasions that Satan was a prince that had power. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Apostle Paul says that in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Jesus referred to Satan as the prince of this world not once, not twice, but three times. Paul came and Paul put the title upon him that he was the God of this world, who has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Later in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2. Now I'm going to read a lot of scripture tonight, because I want your understanding of the spirit world around us to be settled within the scripture and understanding. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2, wherein in time past, speaking about us, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul saying to the church at Ephesus that there was a time that you walked a different course. There was a time that you walked in a different way. He's talking about a manner of behavior, a manner of lifestyle, that you walked in a different manner of lifestyle. And then he said, this was all like you were a puppet on a string. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air, that you were nothing more than a puppet. When he told you to move, you moved. When he told you to speak, you spoke. You were nothing more in the hand of Satan, the prince and the power of the air. This word here, the power of the air, can be determined to mean the power of the atmosphere. The power of the atmosphere. And I would certainly say to you that wherever Satan is allowed to feel the atmosphere, he will fill the atmosphere with his power and with his presence. One example of him being the prince and the power of the air, I believe Sister Erickson referenced it today. I do believe it is one of the reasons, not the main reason, but I do believe it is one of the reasons that we are asked as Christian people to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, because he is the prince and the power of the air. And if he's the prince and the power of the air, and I want nothing to do with him, if I want nothing to do with him, I don't want to have to deal with his subtle thoughts. I don't want to have to deal with all of his temptations. I don't want to have to waste my life trying to overcome the devil. I want to spend my life living for the Lord. And if I don't want to waste my life, then I need to make some noise around me that pushes back the atmosphere. It may sound like, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I magnify you, Lord. And I'm going to tell you something else more beautiful tonight. It doesn't just have to be when you get to 1331 William Blunt Drive. It can be in your automobile that you say, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I magnify you, Lord. I love you, my God. Come on, why don't we make some noise tonight? He's the prince. He's the prince in the power of the air. But I've got news for you. He can only mess with you on one or two avenues. Either you make a place for him to mess with you, or God allows him to come and mess with you. But that's the only way the devil. So when I'm teaching this on biblical view of the spirit world, I don't want anybody going home tonight scared. I don't want anybody living a scared life because of this series of lessons. I want you to live an informed life because of this lesson. And the only way the enemy can come to you is that you allow him. You give place to the devil. You create an atmosphere that he can dwell in. A prayerless life. A prayerless life is rotten flesh. And just like vultures will circle the skies when something has died and the flesh is rotting, that's the same way the enemy does. He knows a prayerless man is an easy man. He knows a person that doesn't read a Bible is an easy prey. And so you'll always have the enemy around you if you're prayerless, praiseless, and without any word of God. So you let him into your life that way. Or you do have a prayer life. You do have a praise life. You do own a Bible. You do read the Bible. You do study the Bible. You are faithful to Bible study. Then if the enemy comes into your life, it is because God has allowed him to come in. And if God has allowed him to come in, it is a test that you're going through. And when God allows him to come in, his power is determined by what God allows him to do. That's right. If he's the prince and the power of the air, and he's got all this control, you're going to show us in Scripture. Why isn't he doing it? I'm going to tell you why he's not doing it. Because God has him on a chain. God has him on control. Satan can only do what God allows him to do. Oh, I think we need a praise right now. I believe we need to get some things in our mind of understanding about the spiritual world around us. The conversation in the book of Job, chapter number 1 and verse number 12. Job, Satan has come to God and he has made an accusation. He is an accuser. He is a slanderer against Job. He has told God that Job only serves God for material things. He has laughed in God's face. He has slandered the character of Job. He said, no wonder Job serves you. Who wouldn't serve you? Having all the blessings, having all the things that Job has. And in verse number 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy, would you say that word with me, is in thy power. All that Job has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So we see here, Brother Hammond, God said, all right, Satan, you've accused him, you've slandered him, you said he serves me only for the money, and now I'm going to let you touch all of his money. I'm going to let you touch all of his material things, but I will control how far you go. You can't touch his flesh. Satan leaves the presence of God. Verse 13, I will read very quickly. And there was a day when his sons, Job's sons, and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans, that's a certain group of people, fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Stop there. That was not coincidence. These Sabaeans didn't get up one morning, and it just came to their mind to attack the children, to attack the oxen of Job. It didn't just get up one morning and decide, hey, I'm going to tell you who put it in their mind. Satan put it in their mind. Because if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, you must understand you are a puppet on a string. And you're just simply orchestrating what he wants done. It was not coincidental. It was not just something that came into their minds. Verse 15, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away, and have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, that is lightning, and hath burnt up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, not only does Satan have control, it wasn't a happen chance of a storm. He is the prince and the power of the air. It wasn't just a happen chance thunderstorm. it was that Satan controlled the lightning. And now, being given permission from God, lightning bolts to the field of Job and creates a fire, and it burns up the sheep and the servants and consumes them, and only one escaped. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans, he's another group of people, made out three bands, fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So here's another group of people, the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans, that just didn't. I want to drive this point home to us. We've got to understand, in world affairs, there are things that are happening that God is allowing to happen to bring about the end of time. We are moving toward a one world government. They're coming together, and governments that would not speak to each other for decades are now crossing over the line and wanting to have conversations. I don't think it's anything or out of the accidental, coincidental with North Korea. I don't think that China is on the map tonight the way China is. And the upset, I don't think that's just a coincidence. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan is a destroyer. His very nature, he couldn't bless you if he wanted to bless you, because he is, by his nature, he is the one of death. And so anytime God backs off and God says, you can do this, there will be death in the wake. It is the Chaldeans now that get up and decide to attack Job. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, a tornado, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I escaped alone to tell thee. He has power. He has power to get into the minds of godless nations. He has power to get into their minds. When God wants to fulfill his purpose, God can lengthen Satan's chain, and Satan can speak into the minds, because you remember, he is the God that hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. He is not only able to get into the minds and cause nations to become puppets, but he also is the prince and the power of the air. He can control lightning, and he can control the wind. He is very powerful. He is the prince of the air. This is powerful. The wind, the lightning, people's thoughts. Yet, I want you to know tonight, you're thinking, now, Pastor, this don't feel real good to me tonight. Well, just hold on for a moment. Just hold on for a moment. My response to Satan's lightning and Satan's wind and the people that Satan can bring against me, my response is greater than what he can do. My response of worship is greater than what the enemy can do. You say, well, that person seems to have it in for me, out for me. You might be right, but how you respond to those Chaldeans and those Sabaeans is going to determine whether they have the final say in your life. You say, man, the lightning and the wind is stronger than I. It's only stronger than you if you don't have the right response of worship. Because when the lightning came and the wind came and the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans came, the Bible said in verse 20, something greater than wind and lightning and Chaldeans and Sabaeans, something greater. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Can I tell you tonight that if Satan has been allowed to come into your house, if Satan has been allowed to come into your life, Can I tell you about a biblical view of spiritual forces around me? My response to worship is greater than the wind and the lightning. My response of worship, my response when things fall apart in my life, everything's hinging upon verse 20. Am I going to worship God, or am I going to doubt God? Am I going to say, is this what I get for paying my tithe? Is this what I get for coming to church? Is this what I get for living holy? Or are you going to back up, raise your two hands, and begin to magnify the King of Kings? Come on. Some of you that are under attack tonight, you ought to begin to push back the enemy with worship, with worship, with worship, with worship. Hallelujah! 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 I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Why? Why is worship so important in my life? Is it just noise? No. Worship always clears my mind and puts things in proper perspective. When you're counting your loss, you ought to be counting something that never can be taken away. For the world didn't give it to you. And the world cannot take it away. Let there be a car wreck and you get out without a scratch. Instead of standing there thinking about you got an $800 deductible, you ought to raise your hands and say, thank God I walked out of this without a scratch. And you know what? Even if you had a scratch on your body and stitches up the side of your head, you ought to let them stitch you up and you ought to be saying, God, I thank you that I'm alive. I thank you, God, that I'm here. Because worship changes my perspective. That's why we got verse 21. You can't have verse 21 without verse 20. He got up and worshiped. So when he did open his mouth about the situation, see, when anything happens, there's two conversations you have. One with God and one about the situation. But if you only have one about the situation, you're going to be in trouble. But if you have that first conversation with God, I love you, God. I don't understand, God. I can't make heads or tails of this, God. I don't know why, God. But I know one thing, I love you. I know one thing, I love you, God. I know one thing, you've never done me nothing but good, God. I know one thing, God, I've not always been good to you. Maybe it's time for a little honesty when we get in trouble. Maybe we need to say, God, you know, I might have brought some of this on myself, God. But God, I know one thing, you've never left me. You've never turned your back on me. I bless you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I magnify you, Lord. What do you say, Brother Carpenter? Are you really real? You really saying that we ought to stand up and give God praise when I just got my layoff slip? You think I need to stand up and give God praise when people had it out against me and all this stuff is happening in my life? You really think I ought to do that? Yeah, baby. That's why it's called the sacrifice of praise. Hey, anybody can go to the mailbox and get their stimulus check and say, woo! Anybody can get a raise on their job and say, thank you, Jesus. But what about when you're walking out of the gate and you've just been laid off? Can you? Man, I'm about to feel my pre-COVID-19 shout coming on. I want you to know, you got to be able to worship. Well, they say the tumor's growing. I bless your name, God. I magnify your name, God. You're great and greatly to be praised. You're great, Lord. Praise him with me right now. Feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody say yes.
Yes.
Somebody say yes, yes.
Yes.
Somebody say yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I got my worship now. I still got a house full of dead kids. And I still got bankruptcy. My fields are burned up. My animals are burned up. And all I've got left is about 3 servants. And they saved them because they always give a negative report. I'm bankrupt. I got children I got to bury. I got things I don't understand. But Job had him a little worship with God. And then he opened his mouth in verse 21 and said this. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. In other words, he said, there was a day I didn't have all this. You see, some of us think that wealth is permanent. There was a day when you didn't have 2 pennies to rub together. There was a day when a coat hanger kept your muffler from falling off in the middle of the street. There was a day when you had cardboard in the bottom of your shoes. There was a day that you only went out to eat every great once in a while, and you had jam sandwiches at home. What's a jam sandwich? You take 2 pieces of bread, jam them together and eat. Can I tell you, you've not always lived in that house. You've not always made that kind of money. You've not always been where you're at right now. So what did you do before you had it? You praise the Lord. You magnify the Lord. Come on, I want to get some of us tonight to praise him right now. You're waving your hands good, but we need to get some vocal things going on. We need to get some vocal things going on. Hallelujah. He's a prince. Did you run the aisle when you didn't have your sickness? I say if you're strong enough now that you got your sickness, you ought to still be praising the Lord. Did you clap your hands before the cancer? If you got it now, you ought to clap your hands. You ought to. Worship. Worship, Brother Nolan. Puts things in the proper perspective. Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. He said, you know what? I came into this world with nothing, and I'm going out of this world with nothing. Never saw a U-Haul behind a hearse yet. You ain't taking nothing with you. The Lord gave. Come on now. Come on, let's get our perspective together. The Lord gave, yeah, that's when you were praising him. And the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, neither charged God. Now, before I go to my next point, I want every man, woman, boy, or girl in here, especially those of you that are going through a trial, I want you to verbally understand that God gave it. Well, you say it's lost. No, it's not lost. It's not lost. Well, who's got it? Well, read your verse. Who's got it? Who's got what I lost? The Lord. Because the Lord gave it, and the Lord took it away. Now, I'm going to tell you something. One sure way not to get it back is to become unthankful. Because I don't know about you, but I got a little God in me. I got a little God in me. Not much, but I got a little God in me. I don't like to do anything for unthankful people. Oh, I know. Y'all just your halo a little bit. I know there's, behind that blouse, sister, I know there's folded angelic wings back there. I understand. And I'm trying to keep my horns down, all right? I understand all that. I don't like a whiny kid. I don't like a kid coming up to me going, What? Where you cat at? Where you cat at? What's wrong? I want a popsicle. You're going to get a can of turnip greens right now. Now, if I don't like that, as a matter of fact, am I the only one here that doesn't like that? How many of you like doing things for people that never say thank you? How many pies you just keep sending over to that person and you never get a thank you note? You may be seated. You never get a thank you. You know what I'm talking about. That stuff stops. But you take somebody that's thankful, and they just make over what you do for them. You know what that makes you want to do? Want me to give them more. I just want to give them more because they're thankful. You know where I got that from? I got that from my Heavenly Father. When we are thankful, you know what that makes him do? He said, let me give him a little bit more. I like to hear him say that. Let me bless him a little bit more because he's keeping that thankful spirit. He's thinking that thankful spirit. You know what? When that boy didn't have all of his teeth in his head, do you know he worshiped me and praised me? Do you know when he had an old car that it had air conditioning? The old car I had air conditioning in it. You roll down four windows and get 65. It had 465. It had the famous may pop tires on it, may pop at any time. As a matter of fact, I remember, and this is a true story, no evangelisticness to this story, but I remember the sun had beat down on the back of the cloth seat in that car, the back windshield. The sun had beat down and it had dry rotted the cloth there, and the cotton stuck out. The cotton stuck out of that seat, Nolan. And in the summertime, working for Brother Lee, it get real hot, so you rolled all them windows down. And of course, you know, we was learning new choir songs, and we'd be going down the road praising God. This little light of mine, you remember that, Jeff? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And then, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down, and I'm going up yonder. I get to singing, and so help me God, this happened. This is no evangelistic speaking here. I got to singing one day in the car. I got to going fast, and them old cotton balls from that back started rotating around that car. I started going like that. They'd go out one window and come in the next, and I had my mouth, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And when them cotton balls went right in my mouth, I nearly choked to death. I had to pull over the side of the road and spit and sputter. Can I tell you, God looked down and said, you know what? When that little old boy didn't have all the teeth in his head and that little old boy had a car, he would praise me. And you know what? He was thankful for that car. He just thanked God for that car. He thanked God for a suit that he had. His mama bought him a suit to go to church. I remember this. My mama bought me a suit to go to church, and it had a pair of pants and had a vest, a little vest and a jacket. And what I would do, and the jacket was reversible. It had a different pattern on the other side. So Wednesday night, I'd wear that pants and that vest with the checkered part sticking out and my white shirt, and I'd go to church and praise God. And then Sunday morning, I'd turn the vest around to the plain side, put the jacket and the tie on, and I was thinking, everybody thinks I got three or four clothes. But I didn't quit going to church because somebody there had a better car. I didn't quit going to church because somebody there had more teeth than I had. I didn't quit going to church because somebody had better clothes. I just walked in. Oh my God. I just walked in there and I praised God, and he said, I'll give you some more. I'll give you a little bit more. Friend, tonight, I'm telling you, if you want God to bring you out, get a thankful spirit. Come on, get a thankful spirit. Hey, come on now. Holy Ghost will fall on us and we'll praise him. Can I tell you, our greatest weapon against Satan is the word and worship. Say it with me. The word and worship. Say it with me. The word and worship. Say it again. The word and worship. You say, oh, Brother Carpenter, if I could just think hard enough to be delivered, if I could just concentrate hard enough to be delivered, I could be delivered. No, you can't. Because you got to have something more powerful than what you've got, what you're bound. And your thoughts are not more powerful than what's got you bound. You can think all you want to, but your thoughts will wear out. But if you can learn how to get into God's incorruptible word and worship, it is your greatest weapon. It is your greatest weapon. The word and worship is your greatest weapon. Say it again. The word and worship, my greatest weapon. Luke 4, verse 5. Everybody all right tonight? Luke 4 and verse 5. The devil, taking him up unto a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it, and whomsoever I will, I give it. Now there's some interesting things about this verse. Satan claimed to be the God of this world, and Rhonda, Jesus Christ did not refute that. When Satan said, all the world is mine, Jesus did not say, it is not. And the reason he didn't say it was because it was true what Satan said. He was the God of this world. He is the prince and the power of the air. But you see, he told Jesus, I will give you what you have come for. That's right. The Bible says in Revelation 11 that there'll come a day when the kingdoms of this world shall be Christ. But you must understand, Satan promises a kingdom without suffering. And he's not going to take his kingdom without suffering. And you and I must understand, don't ask man, what do you have? You need to ask, what did you go through to get it? A lot of people would say, I would like to have his anointing. But you've got to understand, what did you go through to get that anointing? Because if you don't suffer for what you have, you don't appreciate what you have. Easy come, easy go. That's why the majority of people that become wealthy overnight by the sweepstakes and the lottery and all these things, that's why they interview them a few years later and they're poor, more poor than they were before they won the lottery. You know why? They didn't suffer for it. They just bought a scratch-off ticket and they became a millionaire overnight. But you give me some man and woman that gets up before the crack of the morning. He gets up before dawn and he goes out and he works a business. And he works that business and he begins to give God what's his. And he works that business. He's got long, laborious hours. He suffered, but somehow the payment comes back and God begins to bless him. I'm telling you, you appreciate more what you got when you had to suffer to get it. Hey, you appreciate more what you got when you had to suffer to get it. He said, go ahead and worship me. I'll give you all the kingdoms. It's mine. Go back to verse 6. Go back to verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. He said, I got the kingdoms of this world delivered to me. The kingdoms of this world were given to me. It's right there in the scripture. So I ask a question in my notes tonight. I've got a question in my notes. When was the power delivered? When did Satan become the god of this world with domain? It happened in Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, Adam and Eve. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, the earth, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I'm going to tell you when the transaction happened. Adam was the first man that was the prince and the power of the air. Adam was the first man that God made. And God gave him dominion over the fowl, that's the air, over the sea, over the all the earth. Adam had global dominion. He had global dominion over everything that God created. But in Genesis chapter 6 and verse, 3, verse number 6, is when the transition happened and Adam freely gave his dominion over to Satan. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. This is where Satan got his authority, because at that time it was God's word versus Satan's word. This is where I go back to the two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. There are two words, God's word and Satan's word, and they are opposed one to another. Adam and Eve can live forever with global dominion as long as they hold on to God's word. Because whoever you choose to obey, it's not might, it's not maybe. Whoever you obey is the one that you are a servant to. You are a servant to whoever you obey. Now I want to go back just for a moment. And look at that verse 6 again. Because if you would get me Luke 4 and verse number 6 on the screen. And I know I'm going back and forth, but I want you to see this tonight. It says, "The devil saith unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever, I will give it." Give me the next verse, please. Verse 7. "If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." All you have to do is worship me, and I will give it over to you. Next verse, please. Verse 8. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God." What's he saying? There's two words here. Am I right? There's two words here. God's word, Satan's word. God's word says that you are to worship no other but God. Satan says, worship me. He says, get behind, because it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Notice this, and him only shalt thou. Notice it doesn't say worship. Because anything you worship, you serve it. You are the servant to whatever you worship. And when Adam and Eve chose of their own to walk out of the light of God's word and walk into the darkness of Satan's word, we have Romans chapter 5, verse 17. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Paul is saying we're all in sin because Adam sold us out. Adam was the man of dominion. Adam was the man of global power. But when Adam stepped out of the realm of light and stepped into the realm of darkness, he lost all of it. And Satan became the god of this world. Satan became the prince and the power of the air. Romans 6, 16 through 17. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you." That's why I preach to you tonight that you need to repent. If you're going to come out of the darkness, you have got to change your mind about the darkness. You have got to get tired of living the way that you're living. And you've got to have a change of mind. And you've got to come to the altar and give your life to God in repentance. And you've got to go up and be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What in the world are you saying? It's a form of doctrine that if you'll obey it, God will set us free if we will obey this form. You got to obey somebody. I said you got to obey somebody. Bob Dylan, singer and songwriter, wrote this song. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil. Now, I'm telling you this. This is not one of the guys that show up on Bill Gaither right here, all right? He's writing. It might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You might be a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. You might have drugs at your command and women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you gotta have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. You might be a state trooper. You might be a young Turk. You may be the head of some big TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. You may be living in another country going by another name. But you're going to have to serve somebody. You're going to have to serve somebody. Maybe the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be a construction worker working on a home. You may be living in a mansion or you might live in a dome. You might own guns and you might own tanks. You might be somebody's landlord. You might even own banks. But you're going to have to serve somebody. You're going to have to serve somebody. You may be a preacher with your social pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You may be working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's hair. But you're going to have to serve somebody. You're going to have to serve somebody. Can I tell you at the close of this message tonight? You are either serving the God of light or the God of this world. Can I give you a little just in closing? How you may know which you're serving? If you're serving the God of light, this sermon has made you hungry to worship. If you're serving the God of darkness, this sermon says, and even if it registered in your heart, I'm tired. It's been a long day. It's been Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day. I'm tired. He really hasn't rung my bell tonight. It's almost ready. Quit. Hey, it appears he's quitting a little early tonight. Hey, wow. You see, the enemy will like to keep you lulled asleep. Rock-a-bye, little baby. Got to keep him asleep. You know what I've got to do? You know what I've got to do? I've got to keep him thinking he's saved. It never ceases to amaze me. Sister Carpenter, it never ceases to amaze me. You let somebody attend this church that's lived a horrible lifestyle. Parents never gave them one thought, gave them any counsel of where to go and what to do. But you let that little old girl stumble in this church and pray through to the Holy Ghost, get baptized, and more times than I can count, that little old girl or boy show up Wednesday night, if they make it to Wednesday night. Sometime, Brother Hammond, you know this to be the truth, they're calling by Monday evening or Tuesday. Hey, my uncle called me up and said, I need to stay away from you all. Y'all are cult. My uncle said this, my mom said that. Now that uncle hasn't given that boy the time of day. That uncle passed that boy a many a night sitting down here on the back of his truck at Midland Shopping Center doing God only knows what and never thought one thing about it. But you let that little boy stumble in this church and have a kinfolk he's got like radar. Well, I know what it is. Come on. You know what it is too. Because the same devil that controlled the Chaldeans and the Sabaeans gets loose.
That was some awesome preaching. That was Brother Kenneth Carpenter from Maryville, Tennessee. Locked out, Mom.
Thank you, Sister Starla and Law Bill again for such a wonderful, wonderful hour. This was just awesome. It was just perfect. Brother Carpenter is a man of God that God speaks through him, and I so appreciate Wild Bill for bringing this to us. I can't get in touch with all of the different live streams and whatever, and I took down, this has been a very unusual day for me anyway, and it just seemed like it was an outline to show why our emotions, why our decisions, what we face, it's light or darkness. And we can come into that light when we worship God. I guess it's about a month or so ago, the Lord really dealt with me and brought me to Psalms 34. And then this morning, I was listening to David Wilkerson, who is passed on, but was instrumental through the work that he did with Teen Challenge, Cross and Switchblade, and he said that his favorite scriptures were found in Psalms 34, and it surmises the background of it and what David is saying, the same thing. We worship God. We work, no matter what happens, we worship the Lord, and it's our choice. It doesn't mean that we've done something wrong. It means that we trust God that whatever's going on. And I just love the way Brother Carpenter brought that out. You know, we're going through a test or a trial or whatever, but when we know that when we worship God, we're going to come through it. And thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful lesson tonight. And I wrote down a lot of things, but it was mostly just notes that of what he said. And I made a little sketch. I like to make sketches when I'm taking notes, and it's this little stick figure, and he's got both hands straight up in the air, and I'm going to worship the God of light, which is Jesus, and I'm not going to let myself ever give any kind of accolades to the devil, who is the God of darkness. That is so interesting the way he portrayed that. So I want, what I'm interested, very interested in what Wild Bill has to say about it. I hope he has the opportunity to speak to us tonight.
Yes, I thought that was really good. Really, I mean, the way that he brought that out, I thought it was very interesting. I don't think I've ever heard it like that before.
I haven't, things, and bring it so illuminated, you know, so anointed. And in the sermon I heard today earlier, it's, you know, when David went to the lion's den, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was doing everything right. His faith put him in the lion's den. And it was his faith in the lion's den that brought him one of the greatest miracles you could imagine. And so sometimes we walk through things and we're in a lion's den because we're doing what's right. And, you know, we have faith in God, but we have to know that and trust God and worship God through the whole thing. And he also mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was their faith that put them in the fiery furnace. But in the fiery furnace, God was so with them, possibly the personage of Jesus Christ right there, that they witnessed and came out of there, not even a smell of smoke on their garments. And these illustrations were so illuminated to me in these sermons today. I don't know if I'm about to go through something. I better really be ready to praise my way through it. But we all are. We are definitely in a time that we will be tested. And in this time, it will be because of our faith in God that we can worship with all of our heart, knowing that God is always in control. I just loved it. Everything about this was just perfect. Well, the time we're going through right now, all of the different questions and so much negativity, anxiety, and whatever, this was top of the line. Just thank you again.
Thank you, Blood Clot Mom. We have Wild Bill with us. Hello, Wild Bill.
Well, hello, Starla. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, I tell you what, this message right here just goes back to what I'm saying, that I believe that this is going to be more of a separation of the wheat and the tares in our churches than what we've ever seen before. You know, we get to reading all these scriptures in the Bible, and we're so quick to want to say, okay, this is to this denomination and this to that denomination. Most of the Bible, especially the New Testament, was written to the New Testament churches. It was the things that they were allowing to creep in, the things where they were becoming lukewarm, where they were losing their first love. And I was just thinking, you know, I've said this before, there is so much hatred in our churches right now, right? So much judgment. And it's just, and it's easy. A lot of people don't realize this, but it's like Satan is, as he says, the prince of the air. Well, I used to like how the old black women used to get up and testify in church, said, woke up with my mind set up on for Jesus, cause, and I'm going to give him 100% because 99.5% just won't do. You know, and that's so true. You're either living for God 100% or you're living for the devil, because there's so many scriptures that talks about you're not going to have good fruit and bad fruit. You're not going to have cursings and blessings, those sort of things coming from the same tree. Is not going to be there. And it's just so easy to, like what he said, where Satan sits there and just pets you on the back and says, you're doing good. Man, you're going to church regular, and you pay your tithes and give offerings, and you try to encourage people, and you see someone down and out, and you try to help them, and, you know, you go beyond just thinking about yourself, and, you know, you try to be used in services to help lift people up and things, and, yeah, you're doing really good. And in truth, if you stop and look at yourself and put yourself in front of your spiritual mirror, you're not doing well at all. Because, like he said, you can't think things into being. It's not a mind over matter thing in living for God. And I know that I have several weaknesses. I have a problem with that wait thing, waiting on the Lord. Man, I have a hard time doing that. I just point me in a direction and let me go. But it's in that waiting period, or sometimes where iron is sharpening iron, that, you know, there's things that just makes God more real to me than what he was before, where I have to work that much harder to press through, where I just can't just sit there and go to my knees in prayer or just sit in my truck or whatever. It's not a thing where I can just instantly connect with God. There's times where I have to to push through. I have to break through the spiritual barriers that are there. Sometimes it comes to where I have to go to a place of repentance, where I had thoughts against somebody, maybe a brother in the church, of something they did me wrong. And they really did do me wrong, but I'm supposed to love that brother, not judge that brother. I'm supposed to stand in the gap for the weaker brother, not shove him on under the rest of the way when he's struggling. And, you know, in quicksand, I'll just put my head, my boot on his head and shove him completely under. What's going on right now in this world is so unique to me in the things that I'm feeling in the spirit realm. It just, I feel that it's time for preachers like this pastor's talking about here. He's feeling in the spirit it's time to do more of preaching and teaching on things of the spirit realm. And I'm telling you, this preacher is usually one of those 15, 20 minutes, and that's a message. And since this stuff has came up with the coronavirus and God has been talking to him, man, you saw some of the preliminaries that were really, really good. I couldn't help playing with his grandson. I could just see him coming in the bedroom and, "Grandpa, is this speaking in tongues?" How precious is that? It's just precious. And you can tell Grandpa to share that with the church. Come on, say that again. Come on, say it again. You know, because if your mind is set up at that age, looking towards spiritual things and trying to understand them, then you're establishing a foundation that you're not going to be shaken from. You're not going to be stirred. It just, I sometimes I stop and I look at things, and you know, you say, "Well, I'd like for this person in my family to be saved, or I'd like for that person to be saved." But you know, I know it's free will, and I know that, you know, God can send people to them and everything, but they still have free will. That is it's just a bunch of malarkey when you start thinking that way. Stop and think about where you were, what you were thinking about when it came to God, and what he did to position you to get your attention. Because I'm telling you, when people are praying for you, and they're praying in faith, believing, they're not making excuses as to why God's not going to do this or not going to do that. The battle's been won. It don't matter what it is we're praying for, the battle's been won. I saw it with my mom, with my grandparents. You know, they fought, you know, tooth and toenail. They were some of those people, "Oh, that's a cult. Oh, you've lost it. You guys shouldn't be going there. And it's too loud. They worship too loud. It's too much noise, too much confusion, you know, and all that screaming when they're preaching and everything, and people running around and running the aisles and leaping for joy and beating on cymbals and rub boards and stuff. No, that can't be of God. But I saw that when it came down to where the rubber met the road, that a person of faith that would not let go and kept praying with them got the answer to their prayers. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw my dad, who was always supportive of ministry and the things that went along there. I think a little bit he was afraid not to, because he saw that when mom first got in church, the blessings, I won't ever forget. You know, dad had a good job, and we were cutting firewood and things, but we weren't rich by any means. And we had just moved out to the farm out in the country, and he had a longer drive to work. And there was a lot of spiritual warfare that was going on in the house and between the family members and things, and just spiritual warfare, just out and out spirits coming into battle, the change and transition that was taking place in mom's life. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, dad's like, "Well, you pay tithes on your money, you can't pay tithes on mine." And then all of a sudden he changed, and we get this little bitty grocery store down in Perryville, Arkansas, had a contest. And they called us up. We just bought some groceries and said that our cash register tape had been pulled, and we won $50 worth of groceries. And so we go down there and we get that $50 worth of groceries, and we're just going in the house. There were no cell phones then, or if there was, we didn't have one. And the phone's ringing again, and they want us to come back, and we're getting $100 worth of groceries. It was like God was speaking to Dad, let him see, "You cannot outgive me when you obey the word." And he saw those things. He saw where mom had this horrible thing in her body that she was going through. And I remember as a child, as a teenager, and I was thinking my mom's going to die. And I was praying that my dad would actually force her to go to the hospital. And, you know, because I didn't want my mom to die. I couldn't imagine having life to go through without her being there. And then God moved and healed her in a miraculous way. When you trust in God, that's what he wants us to do. But I battle with unbelief so much. I battle with the same things I was talking about that we need to quit doing, where, you know, I know God can save them. I know he can redeem our life. I know he can take these addictions away from them and everything. But we put all these buts in there, and God's like, no, trust me. Believe me with your whole heart. Worship me with all that you have, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and all your might. And understand this, there's nothing that's going to separate you from the love of God. Nothing. There ain't no power known and no power unknown that can separate us from the power of God except our free will. And I said it in church with a sermon the other day where I was talking about God is love. If you go through life and things just become mediocre, and it gets to where the word of God has just become something you've heard before and it may stir you just a little bit, you're backslid. You have sat on a pew. You may be there faithful to every service, but you're either living for God or you're not living for God. And we don't preach that much anymore because it's not a popular message. We, you know, people say, well, you know, there's a gray area. Yeah, well, the gray area is serving the devil. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. It's either black or white. It's either hot or cold. Lukewarm ain't going to get it. He's going to vomit you out of his mouth. God is wanting us to love him the way he loved us, where he laid down his life, shed his blood, where it made it possible for the first time for remission of sins. And then he goes on in Peter with the first message in Acts, which everyone says the day of Pentecost was the birth of the New Testament church. Every Christian denomination says that, but then they want to ignore the very first message that was preached. That baffles my mind. Of course, I understand, you know, you go up here and you say, well, Jesus said Father, Son, and Holy Ghost over in Matthew. You know, that was Jesus. It's in red in my Bible. I'm going to believe Jesus before I believe Peter. Why can't it be that they're both saying the same thing? Why is it that your vision is so blocked? And when we tell you why, because you don't want to go to a church where there's accountability for sin. And everything you read in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, the type and shadows of things in the New Testament, there's always been an accountability for sin. David, a man after God's own heart, all the things he did good, all the psalms that he sang before God, dancing before the Ark of the Covenant so hard that his robe come off. And I don't believe that he was nude. I believe the undergarments, what most of the people had, was more what we have for outer clothes sometimes. But he did these things, and yet still, look at what he had to go through, the death of his children, how his children rose up against him and tried to kill him and take over the country and everything. And look at all the bitter tears he had to weep for his children for all the things that went on. Because he had so much blood in his life, he wasn't even allowed to build the temple to God who he loved so much. Look at Moses. Moses went in, did everything he was supposed to do, got the children of Israel, and they were escaping Egypt. And God led them between an army and a body of water. And some people say it was shallow enough you could walk across it. And some people say that flood stage there, that it was, you know, a long way across there. And, you know, it could sweep everything away. Whatever it was, is a miracle either way that God used that water to crush the enemy's armies, to let them be stuck in the mud, and that water come through and washed them all away, did away with them. But yet one thing Moses did, he was told not to hit the rock this last time, but to speak to the rock. And what did he do? He hit the rock, and God still honored his position that he had placed him in over the children of Israel, and so water came forth. But because of that, he was not allowed to go into the promised land. All the good things that he did, and I'm telling you that it's not that hard when you fall, when you make a mistake, when you stumble. Repentance is there 24/7, 365 days a year. Just repent. But if you get to doing it where you have to repent over the same thing over, 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 and over, that's not repentance. That's like them old drunks that sit there when they get drunk. They all get to cry. Oh, I love Jesus. You know, I know the Bible, and you know, I'm thankful that He loves me and everything. And you know, it's just have you ever been around drunks like that? That's all of a sudden they want to witness to everybody and talk about the love of God, and you know, you can tell they're drunk. And whatever reason they're doing that and everything, the words have no power and they have no meaning. And if we're not careful, because I'm believing right now, God is going to establish His power in the church as we have never seen before. We're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders as we've not seen before in my lifetime. And I've seen a lot of things past. But I think it's going to be even greater for those that are willing to have a prayer life and a love life with Jesus and a praise life with Jesus, to praise Him for all the things that He's done and to understand that He is going to do it for His purpose, not for our purpose. But in that whole process, we don't have to worry that these things are going to come against us to harm us, because the whole thing is not being lost. That's what it's all about. It's not about anything else. It's about knowing that your future is secure and having to trust in Jesus, that He's going to make a way where there was no way. And I'm sorry I kind of went off on a long spiel there, but I'm telling you, the church is either going to tighten up, or you're going to see churches this go into something that's going to be, it's going to be a bad thing. There's going to be more clear the spirits that they're entertaining in churches, and it's going to be obvious to people if it's for God or not. And there's going to be people that's going to be drawn to things because of music programs and Sunday school programs and unmarried programs and young married programs and all these things. And it's going to be 100% a social thing, because there's not going to be any of God there. That separation is coming, and I believe it's already started. And you just have to make up your own mind. Which side are you going to be on? Are you going to strive for holiness? Are you going to strive to be perfect, understanding that the only thing perfect that we can put on is the qualities that Jesus has given us? That's our hope. That's our supply. That's where we go to get renewed. All these things we get through Jesus. So, all right, Blog Talk Mom, it's your turn now.
Oh, I really appreciated everything you said, Wild Bill. That is so wonderful. And this what you're choosing, and you know, the effort you put into bringing these messages to us, and I do appreciate my little singing rap at the beginning. That was one of my favorites, Stand Up for Jesus. And this is just awesome. It's very, very good. And I love Sister Starla for the effort that she puts in. And I mention that every time, but I mean it every time. Everything that we do, when we, you know, put our own life directed, totally focused, that's the main thing, is staying focused on the work of God above and around everything else. Because this is what I feel like these messages you're bringing and what the Lord is showing me, is Satan in this darkness is wanting us to get our eyes off of the trust that God is telling us He will take care of us. He will prepare a way when there seems to be no way. We don't have to get pulled into the world's darkness, but to keep totally focused on the light. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and I was studying that again today. It had to be through the fires of affliction that they would come out, or they would probably never even followed Moses. So there's times it's going to be, that's happening right now, it has the opportunity to turn people to God, to let once more realize they must lay aside the darkness and the so-called God of this world. He brought that out extremely well tonight, because He is. I mean, when He can get an educational system, an entire education, besides Christian school, naturally, but something so opposite of what God has plainly brought out in His Word. If you just stop and think about that, that is ridiculous. And it has given birth to all this other ungodly, away from the Word of God, the focus of God, into, you know, it's given it power and strength. And like we all know, with the media and so many ways that we can see all over the world, and this, it's very evident to me that I know, according to the Word of God, it could be only God knows the exact day or hour. But you just about have to close your eyes or something not to see so many things. They're everywhere falling into place according to not only to the prophecies, but according to history in the Bible. When Israel got away, when they got so far away, then the judgment came. And so we just want to take a personal, I do, I want to take a personal look at my life. I feel like many people, like the ministers that you're bringing out, are doing that. And they're, when they begin to preach to the congregation is doing that. And like you said, Wild Bill, it's an individual. We must allow the Word of God to cleanse us and wash us, and let that be the final trust and faith is the promises of God, where he said he's not going to let us fall. Anything that comes against us, it will work together with us to take us through the furnace of affliction and purge us and make us gold tried in the fire. And we are the vessels of God for eternity. All of these other things are temporal. So I don't mean to repeat the things that you said, but I guess I do because I love it. And you're right about your mother being, I really feel like that God used me because I was, like the song, I was just a nobody that wanted to tell somebody about somebody that could absolutely change their life. And when I couldn't find the words, and when I didn't have the abilities, God showed them by an example. The person that they were obviously could judge them as being in a lot of trouble in a lot of ways. They saw what God could do. All my closest friends came to the Lord and worked heartily in the church, because God don't make mistakes, and he can take anything. He goes to that one lost sheep, leave the 99, and he finds that sheep wherever it is. And if you're out there tonight and you hear this at some time, know that God loves you and cares for you, and he will bring you in for whatever is coming on this earth, in this world, because we're going to live forever with him. And the darkness will be gone. It won't be there to torment us. We'll be in the light because Jesus is the light. And I just so feel his presence today. I feel him so strongly today. And I love him, and I love you, Wild Bill, and Sister Starla, and all my family. I love you, and I want to believe God with all my heart that I prayed the trailer park behind my house. We had the clubhouse. We've had something going on constantly. And I just been praying, Lord, we planted and we watered. Would you bring the increase? And I've had a church full, even adults, coming. And God is just so good. I love him so much. So thank you again. And I look forward to each one of the programs that you have. And now we're Faith. Starla, it's your turn.
Well, that was good. I appreciate you sharing that. God is so faithful, and he is so good. He has been so good to me. I cannot tell at all. Well, we appreciate you all being with us again this week, and we pray that you all stay safe and have a very blessed week, and we'll see you back here next week. Good night.